to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 is our text. And if you're looking for how to take notes, you can look at the bulletin. There's a place there on the back side that you can take notes. And I encourage you to do that. It helps with your memory. And also, if you have information to fill out on the praise part of that portion of the bulletin, or the new visitor, or wanting to be member, all of that stuff is available. I want to make sure I make that known as well. Colossians 4, verses 1 through verse 6, it says, "Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." That's quite an introduction to that verse, isn't it, or that chapter. Moving on, he says, verse 2, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time." And that's important, amen? And verse 6 says, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." So let's, with that in mind, let's pray. Lord God, we're thankful for your word. It is such a joy to study what you have said through the Apostle Paul, through other of the disciples who wrote letters. And even as we look at the Old Testament from time to time, we also are blessed to have your word preserved miraculously in so many ways. And we're thankful, Lord, that we can trust what is being said. And we ask, Lord, that you'll give us faith to apply the truths of your word into our very lives. We ask for your guidance. Help me, Lord, to speak according to your will, and help us all to listen, and that we would be anointed by your Spirit to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Devoted to prayer is our title. We want to talk a little bit about prayer. We're doing more in these recent days in focusing on the importance of prayer than we have for some time. We do our prayer nights on Thursdays. There's just a small group that gets together, and that certainly can grow into a larger group. And there's a specific way of praying at that time. And we also have the praise and prayer that we do in a combination set for our evening services now, where we're able to just have a little bit of freedom to walk around and pray, come to the altar, be prayed for, lay hands on one another as we worship and sing. And it's just a different setting where I think it's important for us to take the time to come together and pray for one another and just take time to listen to what God has to say. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is so vital that we're passionate and devoted to prayer. Somebody might ask, what exactly is prayer? Well, prayer in some definitions will vary from thing to thing, but here's what I wrote down. Prayer is communication. Probably the simplest way I can describe to you what prayer is, it's communication. And you probably know by now that communication is tremendously important in any relationship. How many know that? How many have ever miscommunicated something or misunderstood something that was communicated, and you found yourself in some trouble because you didn't quite get it? Well, I'm going to just for fun read a few instances of that. There was a golden anniversary party that was thrown for an older couple, and the husband was moved by the occasion. He wanted to tell his wife just how he felt about her. I heard someone say, uh-oh, already. She was very hard of hearing, however, and she often misunderstood what he had to say, and with many of the family members gathered around, he did a toast and said, "My dear wife, after 50 years, I found you tried and true." Everyone smiled with their approval, and his wife said, "Eh?" He repeated louder, After 50 years, I found you tried and true. His wife kind of humped and shot back, well, let me tell you something. After 50 years, I'm tired of you too. Oops, that didn't come across exactly right, did it? Here's a kind of a funny miscommunication. Early one morning, a woman made a dash out of the house when she heard the garbage truck was pulling away. How many know what that feels like? You're like, ah! She was still in her bathrobe. Her hair was wrapped in big curls. Her face was covered in some sticky cream of some kind. She's wearing a chin strap and a beat-up old pair of slippers. In short, she was a frightful picture. When she reached the sidewalk, she called out, am I too late for the garbage? And the reply came back, nope, hop right in. I guarantee he was not married to that woman. He would not dare to say such things. Oh, I think I marked the wrong page on this one. Okay, this is the last one. This one will slam me just a little bit, just for fun. There was a man that was traveling one summer in the Pocono Mountains. It was a Presbyterian family. And they attended a church that was in the area while they're on vacation. He's a pastor, and so they went to this other church. Happened to be a Methodist church. It was a hot day, and the folks were nearly passed out in the pews. I mean, they were just tired and sleepy. The preacher was preaching on and on until all of a sudden, he just shouted out, the best years of my life have been spent in the arms of another man's wife. The congregation let out a gasp, came to immediate attention, and the dozing deacon in the back row dropped his hymn book. And the preacher said, it was my mother. The congregation fiddled a little bit, managed to follow along, and the sermon concluded. So this preacher, he kind of filed that back in his memory. That was a good one. I should use that someday. Sure enough, the next summer on a lazy Sunday, he was preaching along. Flies were buzzing around. The ushers were sinking lower and lower, and people were starting to fall asleep in the pew. And he remembered that experience from the Pocono Mountains. So he shouts out in a booming voice, the best years of my life have been spent in the arms of another man's wife. Sure enough, he had their attention. One of the ushers in the back row sat up so fast he hit his head on the back of the pew in front of him. I had them, he said. But you know something? I forgot what came next. All I could think of was to say, and for the life of me, I can't remember her name. That would be a bad experience for the preacher. Communication, so important. And we do, at times, discipline and work at our relationship communication skills, especially when we're with a husband or a wife relationship. When you're trying to explain to your child certain behaviors, why they're good or why they're bad, and just so important. And yet, at times, we become lax in our communication with God. And communication is a two-way street. We don't simply just come together and tell God what to do. We don't tell him how we feel, and that's it. We also have time where we can listen and look for his answers to our prayers as we communicate with him by listening. I want to challenge you, devote yourselves to prayer. Verse 2 of our text says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Keep watch. What are we watchful for? There's so many things we could say, but we certainly know that we are living in these last days. And we should be watchful for the coming of the Lord, along with many other things. If you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24, understanding how prayer is watchful. Matthew 24, verse 42. It reads, therefore, stay awake. Be alert, right? Stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Jesus told us he doesn't know the day or the hour. Only the Father knows. I explained to you why that was an important phrase. I won't go into all the details, but in a marriage covenant relationship, while the son is building an addition to his father's home, it's the father's decision to say, you've done what you've needed to. You're finished. Go get your bride. And when it comes to the bride of Christ, who we are, we're waiting for our groom to show up to take us so that we can be with him to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the Father is the one that will say to the Son, you have finished. You have built the last of the last of the last homes. Go get your bride. That day will come. And I believe it's rapidly approaching. But if you are asleep, if you are not awake, if you're not alert, it will catch you by surprise. Verse 43, as he continues the thought, know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Keep watch. It could be today. I'm a firm believer that there are certain things that have to happen prophetically before Jesus can come for his bride. But as I have studied and as I have learned and as I have grown, I come to believe there is nothing left that's required of him. All things are in place. Not only spiritually, not only worldly as far as the word getting out, do you realize how powerful the internet is? How amazing the technology of our day really is? That people can go into villages where they have generators running and they've got computers set up and they're using satellite technology and they're ordering Amazon.com things. It's ridiculous. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is available with a click of a button. And we know that the word of God needs to be preached in all of the world, and then the end will come. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 24. But do you understand and grasp the realization that it's arguably true that the world has received it? It's available. Not every individual, but God didn't say every individual. He said every nation, the world will know the word, and it's out there. Are you alert? Are you realizing that this could be the day that he comes for his bride? I believe that the Holy Spirit will lead us into knowing more than we should, simply because he is such a gracious God. If you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 through verse 6. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written for you or to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. There is that phrase again that Jesus referred to. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. So that sounds pretty much doomsday. We're all going to be shocked and awed. But then he continues. Verse 4, you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep. Wake up. Let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep aware and be sober. You are not in darkness. I believe as the day approaches and as you pray, the Word of God will actually say you will speed His coming. The Holy Spirit would begin to give an urgency in your heart and your soul. And you'll realize it's soon. It could be today. I feel it within me. The Spirit of God has told me the day is coming rapidly. And we're seeing that urgency elevate every day and every year we continue on. The elevation of that urgency is impressive, and it's getting to be more and more. And one day it will culminate with His return for His bride. So, are you prayerful and are you watchful? Are you realizing this could be the day? If you are, you have to ask yourself this question. If I knew Jesus was coming, let's say tomorrow at 4 p.m., what would I do from now until then? What would I be doing? What should I be doing? How would I maintain that? How would I focus? Well, some of you would say, well, I quit my job. I wouldn't go into work. And that's fine. That's practical. But there's got to be more, right? You would certainly call that family member one more time. You would reach across to that neighbor one last time. You would go out of the way to be super nice to the one that got your order wrong at CC's or YRI or name a restaurant. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just trying to give a point. You know, some of the worst, most rude, difficult people I've seen in life have been Christians. That should never be. We should be the most gracious, the most forgiving, the most blessed and blessing. I'm just saying, how would you respond with normal day routines if you knew Jesus was coming tomorrow? And then you ask yourself, why should it be any different than if I didn't know it was tomorrow? Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. That may not be a fair assessment, but I do think it's worth stating that we would treat it different. But should we truly change our behavior so completely? We should be about the Father's business always. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, be sober-minded, be watchful. What are we watchful for here? Well, we are watchful because Jesus is coming soon. The Master will return for His bride. You know that the day is soon. You feel it in your spirit. You feel it in your soul. But there's also this other thing we must be watchful for. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Now, there's some interesting things about roaring lions. I've said this before. I'll say it again. The roaring lion usually is big and old and slow and can't get his own food. The roaring lion is usually without very many teeth, and he gums his food because he can't hardly tear and shred and bite anymore. He's old. And I don't think it's a coincidence that God is explaining to you and I that your enemy, the adversary of your soul, is a roaring lion. In other words, he's one big giant bluff. He doesn't have the authority to mess your world up. And yet you'll let him. You walk in fear because he roars. And I think God is trying to explain to you and tell you from the deepest parts of your soul, stop letting him rule your life. You are the one that will tell him where he can go when you submit to God. And you resist him. He will flee because of the power of God who's in you. Be alert. He's going to try and mess your world up. Don't let him. Recognize his attack for what it is. Amen? And also recognize when it's just you. Because in my experience, my greatest enemy, as far as I know, is me. Myself. The enemy of soul is self. So be careful about self as well. Amen? That's why we have to take up our cross every day. Crucify that sinful nature. Die to the flesh. Be alert. Prayer that is watchful is important. How about the next one? Prayer that is thankful. Thankful prayer. That was part of our text as well. You've seen that. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians. As I was driving home in a windstorm with rain coming sideways and almost hydroplaning for the last 80 miles, and literally it was like drifts of water across the highway, and I'm trying to get home because I'm tired. We want to get back safe and all that, but I'm kind of, let's get home, right? And as I'm driving, I'm like, well, at least it isn't snow. Come on. Or did you want the 4 feet of snow that somebody got somewhere? No? No? Okay. So I was thankful that we didn't have snow, even though it was still tough driving, especially passing the semi. You can be thankful in prayer. Colossians 1, verse 10 through 14. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. What is all of that saying? Which was a lot, and I realize I said it very fast. Thankful for your salvation. Start there. God, thank you for saving me, an unworthy soul. I didn't deserve your grace. Thank you for loving me. Never forget that. Not one single person deserves the gift of God's salvation, and yet He gives it freely if we simply say yes to Him. I submit to you, God. I submit to your authority. I submit to your love and your forgiveness. Be thankful for your inheritance through Jesus Christ, your Lord. Our life is not about the here and the now. When you have the joys of something circumstantial, acknowledge it is what it is. It's a fleeting moment. When you have the sorrows that are at the depths of your soul, recognize it for what it is. It's a fleeting moment compared to the eternal glory of God's presence. Put it in the perspective it deserves. Rejoice. Have sorrow and mourning. All of these things are part of life. They are the real deal. It's truly something that we must walk through in this challenge called living and life. But never forget your inheritance and be thankful for it. My good friend, my second father type figure in just these short years, is a courageous, wonderful man that's suffering from the disease of cancer, and I don't know how far it's gone, but it's been painful these last few weeks. And Rodney Sturgis, I don't know if God is going to heal him or take him home. I'm just being real straight with you all. I would love to see him rise up from that and be completely free of cancer. That would be my joy, as it would be yours. But I also know that if God so chooses, he will be in glory with God for eternity. And there's joy in that as well. I'm not wanting to see him go. I've only gotten to know this guy for 2.5, almost 3 years now. He's pretty cool. We get along really well. Sharing stories, talks, it's great. And it'll be a bummer and a sadness and a mourning and a loss for all of us if he goes early, in our opinion. But let us look at the big picture once again. Because I have so many loved ones and friends and family and neighbors and church members that are in heaven today that went, in my opinion, a little early. And yet I rejoice in the glory of God. And so should you. And so does Rodney even today. What a trooper. Keep him in prayer, will you? I pray that someone says to me one day, God just gave me a word, Rodney's going to be healed. I'm waiting for that. I'll be glad to be the one to say it when God says, hey, I got news. Taking it out of them. Oh, that would be so exciting. It's happened. It's happened to me. It's happened to my friends. It's happened to others. Hasn't happened yet. And I'll continue to be open and prayerful and desiring and willful and not willful. That's not right. I want to pray God's will. That's what I meant to say. But you know, in all of it, I know no matter what happens, we'll be forever together as family, all of us. Because that's what the big picture shows. Be thankful in all circumstance, thankful in your present blessings, thankful for your salvation, your inheritance. Colossians 3, verse 15. As you're thankful in prayer, it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." Let his peace rule in your heart. And then I already alluded to Philippians, and let's go there. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." I like that. Sometimes we just got to say it twice. Kind of like Foghorn Leghorn. He always said it twice. I don't know why. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Wow, what a great passage of Scripture. In all circumstances, don't be anxious. Nothing should shake you to the core. Why? Because you walk in faith. You're thankful for who God is in your life. And when you are thankful and you're trusting, even in all circumstances, the peace of God comes. Even when it makes no sense. Why are you peaceful? Your world is upside down. Everything's falling apart. It's been disaster after disaster after disaster, and yet here you are, peaceful, joyful, faithful. How can that be? It's because of the power of God. Amen? The peace of God which surpasses understanding. What does that mean? It means the circumstance may not change, but His peace is still there. It doesn't make any sense. It surpasses understanding. No one else can get that, and yet you have it. When you are prayerful to the Lord, be watchful in prayer. Be thankful in your prayers. In all circumstances, be thankful in your prayers. And the last thing I want to share with you, point number 3, is praying for the gospel to spread. We have that in our text. It's verses 3 and 4 of Colossians, and I want to go back to it in closing. Colossians chapter 4. At the same time, pray also for us, he says, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Pray for the messengers of God's gospel. We have a group of missionaries on that wall that we support. We don't very often make budget on them. We're usually pretty close. Am I right, Cheryl? It's not very often that we actually take in more for our missionaries than what we have pledged to give, but we always give what we've pledged. But do we pray for them? Do you pray for them the way Paul was asking? That the word would go out and be received, and that I would speak it so they understand. Pray for me so I can present the gospel well, is what he's trying to say. We need to pray for our missionaries who are out there sharing God's word. Pray that they're successful in how they word things when they're trying to translate to another language. Pray that they are able to comprehend where the person is, so that they can then speak to them in a way that's relevant and understood. Pray for them. Pray for me, that I will speak in a way that you can grasp and understand. That's important, I hope, right? Amen? Pray for our Sunday school teachers. They've got a real big responsibility to help our young people understand who God is, how great His love is, how amazing His forgiveness is, and how blessed they are to hear such great words of truth. Pray for our teachers. Pray for all the pastors, the ministers. Pray for our deacons. Pray for everybody. all of us are ministers in our own right. Pray that you will share the gospel, articulate it well, even when you feel like you might fall short. Amen. The gospel needs to go out. I had a conversation with a young man last night. He found out when we were at McDonald's in Bismarck that I was a pastor. I mean, there is all these hints, apparently. I went to a Bible college, you know, and I had this and that and the other thing I was sharing, and I hadn't met him until this trip. And all of a sudden he goes, "Can I ask you something? Are you a preacher?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm a pastor." "You're a pastor? Oh, I'm sitting next to a pastor." And he just freaked out. And he goes on and on and on, and he's like, "Oh, I got questions." I'm not kidding you. We did not stop talking until we were about 10 miles from town. Through rain and wind and storm and all that crazy stuff, and I'm passing semis talking about Jesus. And it was like, and I don't know what everybody else thought, but I was answering his questions. And he said he was going to maybe come today. He didn't make it. It was a late night. I give him a pass on that. But I needed an extra blessing of prayer, not just for the protection of those roads, but I did something more important than that. I shared God's love with a young man that needed to hear it. I told the guys, I told the coach, I told the whole van, I don't drive this van because I like driving. I drive this because I love people. That's it. What are you doing to love people in your life? How are you making yourself available to share the gospel with someone? It must be intentional. It will take sacrifice. It will take late nights. It will take treacherous roads. I'm just using that example. It'll take discipline. It won't be easy. Sometimes you're going to be asked a question, and you're like, "I don't know what to say to this." And that's okay. Don't make it up. Don't just shoot from the hip and hope it lands somewhere. Unless God speaks to you, just stop. And just be honest. Like, I got asked a question, and I was like, "I have no idea. I don't know." "Really?" And I go, "No, I don't know that. That's a good question. I need to look that up." I just flat out told him, "I don't know." Do that, right? And continue the conversation and come back to that one later. But we need to be praying that the gospel is shared. These cards that went out, I would say that 98% of them are in the trash right now. That would be my guess. I hope I'm wrong. But 2% of 4,689 is still a pretty good amount. I didn't calculate it. You can do that for me if you want. But maybe there's a few that are holding on, saying, "Huh, I should check that out." Are you praying for them? Let's be praying for the gospel to spread. Would you stand with me as we close? Are you devoted to prayer? Are you committed to being watchful for the day is near? In your prayers, are you thankful? Or do you have that tendency, as so many have had, to whine and complain how horrible life is? Don't go down that road. Pray with thankfulness of heart and let the peace of God rule within. And pray for the gospel. There is such confusion in the world today, such confusion. We need to be praying about the gospel to spread. We're going to close our service with a song. And I want to open these altars to you. Maybe you need to come forward and just spend some time up here. Not in the back this time. We won't have the prayer team there. Prayer team's welcome to join those who come. But I want you to make some decisions today to say, "I am devoted to prayer." We have such great things to be thankful for. And this song kind of represents that well. You don't have to be fearful. You don't have to worry. You've been set free. You're no longer a slave. And as we sing, I'm going to switch this one off. As we sing, if you feel led to come forward for prayer, please do. Maybe you just want some quiet time on your own. And that's good. We all need that. If you feel the need to leave, you can walk out. That's fine. Be blessed, and hopefully we'll see you back later tonight. But these altars are open for you. And after we sing the song a couple times, or at least once through, I'll close in prayer for those who are still here.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God.
Sing it again.
You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I am a child of God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing it is to be part of your family. Thank you for receiving us as adopted children into your beautiful inheritance. We are so blessed and we are so thankful. Lord, I just pray that your blessing will be upon all that are here today. Anoint them with your grace and your peace and your joy. Lead them, Lord, I pray, through this week as they enter into this world, which is their mission field. As they go back to work, as they're able to be out there with the other people that need to hear about you, I pray, God, you'll go before them. Bless them with words that can be shared from you of the great and wonderful good news. We just pray, God, that you will continue to lead us by your Spirit as only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God